Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The long-running political firestorm involving the state probation department and its former commissioner, John O'Brien, reached a climax yesterday with a conviction of O'Brien and two co-defendants on corruption charges in federal court in Boston. O'Brien and his first deputy, Elizabeth Tavares, are facing up to 20 years in prison for their convictions on each of six charges of racketeering and mail fraud. Another aide, William Burke, faces 20 years for his conviction on a single charge of racketeering conspiracy. What next? WBUR senior reporter David Boeri covered the long and winding trial to its conclusion and has this report.
It ended the way it began, with an assertion by the government. U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz.
Bottom line, the evidence showed and clearly the jury agreed that this case was about a fraud perpetrated by Mr. O'Brien and his deputies on the citizens of the Commonwealth.
The scheme alleged by the government was rigging the hiring process to award jobs to the politically connected while making it look like they were given on merit. Prosecutors said that in return for the favors, legislators gave probation bigger budgets and other power.
When you commit frauds and you tamper with documents, that's not just mere patronage, and that's where we draw the line.
The jurors were closing in on the end of 7 days of deliberations when they filed into the courtroom. They had deliberated on 104 verdicts. In the front row, where they had sat every day of the trial, O'Brien's wife and three daughters tensed. One of them started quietly sobbing. At the defense table, O'Brien's shoulders trembled. The forewoman began reciting the verdicts. Mail fraud? We find John J. O'Brien guilty. A gasp from the front row. O'Brien's head dropped to the table. His wife yelled, "The government is corrupt." His daughters were crying loudly. Elizabeth Tavares on aiding and abetting the forewoman. Guilty. Co-conspirator. Guilty. Tavares' head dropped. She put her face in her hands, and in the second row, her wife did too. On went the roll call. O'Brien, guilty, guilty, guilty. Now his wife, Lori, collapsed and fainted. She went down on the bench. Someone called for an ambulance. Her family bent over her, trying to revive her. Amidst the uproar, Judge William Young had the roll call of the verdicts continue. It was as if neither the defendants nor the defense attorneys had any expectation this was coming. Jeffrey Denner, a defense attorney for Elizabeth Tavares.
Certainly very saddened by what happened in there. Don't feel it's consistent with the evidence.
Defense had argued there was no fraud, no racketeering, only the prosecutor's misuse of federal powers and a statute devised to bring down mobsters. That was the RICO statute, used here, defense lawyers claimed, to bludgeon people engaged in the kind of patronage practiced throughout the system by judges and legislators who are not held to the same account. Like the making of laws in sausage, they argued, it may not have been pretty, but it was not illegal. The third defendant, William Burke, had been mentioned only a few times at trial and faced the fewest charges. A few minutes before the jury returned, he commented that either way, he just wanted the ordeal over. He had a run of not guilty verdicts until the last charge in the last count. Conspiracy to engage in racketeering, now guilty. For Burke, a new ordeal was beginning. Even his attorney, John Amabile, cried.
It was a complete shock, I think, to all of the defendants. And I respect the jury, but I think the verdict today was a miscarriage of justice. I think that the verdict amounts to scapegoating low-level functionaries without really any kind of a notice for long-standing political practices.
60 witnesses testified on behalf of the government in this trial. Prosecutors designated 34 of them as unindicted co-conspirators. Among them were state representatives. According to the government's theory, those representatives had been bribed by O'Brien with jobs. A two-year federal grand jury investigation called dozens of legislators. But at the end, even though the prosecutors alleged that O'Brien bribed legislators, not one who the government said had taken the so-called bribes was indicted. At the end of the day, three bureaucrats were the only defendants.
First of all, I really take issue with three defendants that were in court as being just mere functionaries or bureaucrats. The head of the probation department and his right-hand people in charge of an agency that employed over 1,800 individuals in charge of hiring and making very, very important decisions.
This was the first time Ortiz was publicly questioned about the prosecutor's unusual step of naming House Speaker Robert DeLeo as a primary actor at the center of the criminal enterprise. Prosecutors allege that DeLeo joined O'Brien in bribing fellow legislators with probation jobs in return for their votes to make him Speaker of the House back 5 years ago. Yet DeLeo was never indicted and never called as a government witness. Why wasn't he?
I know that there have been many comments stated in the media, but we're not trying this case in the media.
Yet the prosecution's naming of DeLeo essentially put his reputation on trial in the public without him having a chance to defend himself, according to DeLeo's attorney and several former federal prosecutors.
And I'm going to rely on what was presented in court, because that's where cases get tried in this office, in a courtroom, and not here in front of the media.
In the end, O'Brien, the probation commissioner, and his two deputies were the only defendants on trial, and they were all convicted. Lawyers for each say they will appeal. Sentencing is scheduled for November. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri, reporting from the federal courthouse in Boston.